You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
It's time
for Silver and Black today.
To the ground game.
Touchdown, Las Vegas.
We're breaking down the latest Raider news
from on and off the field
and bringing you conversations
with newsmakers
and record breakers.
So hold on, Raider Nation.
It's time to
get it on.
Here's your host, Scott Goldbranson and Mo Moulton.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It is time for Silver and Black today, an Odyssey Original Podcast. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate you guys always watching. If you're watching us on YouTube or if you're listening to us on the podcast, love you. Thanks for subscribing. Wait a minute. You don't subscribe? Make sure you do. Wherever you get your podcast, you can find Silver and Black today. Go ahead and subscribe to it and put on that auto download. That helps us a lot. And also it helps you because every time we have a new show, guess what happens? It comes right to you, so we appreciate that. We are back talking nothing but a Las Vegas Raiders football. As always, I appreciate you being with us. I am Scott Goldbranson, your host. My co-host is Mr. Mo Moulton. He is the national NFL writer for Bleacher Report, also the Raiders columnist up on SportsNot.com. And it's over, Mo. 2022 is done. I'm not even usually on these Tuesday shows, buddy. We talk about last week's game, right? We kind of do a recap. This one wasn't even worth talking about, really. We'll talk a little bit maybe about Jared Stidham and how he came back down to earth a little bit. But other than that, Mo, a very forgettable performance against a team that the Raiders have to look at as a measuring stick. And if that measuring stick is 5 feet tall, the Raiders are at about a half a foot. Okay. The Chiefs just had their way again with the Raiders. And I think it shows overall, buddy, the Raiders, while they might be close to being competitive in certain areas, to be a full contender in the AFC, to compete with the Chiefs, with the Bills, with the Bengals, they got a long way to go.
Two things I want to point out about that game, that stinker of a game. Number one, there was an actual point where the Raiders had 12 men on the field. No one noticed. Still couldn't stop the Chiefs.
In week 18.
I don't know if you saw the Baldy breakdown on Twitter, but they actually had 12 men on the field.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. No. The other thing is the Chiefs started playing Ring Around a Rosie while whipping the Raiders' butts.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people don't want to talk about it. It's not a big deal. Look, if you're a competitor, if you played sports before, you don't want someone mocking you while they're whipping your butt. And that's what the Chiefs did. And for I know Vic Tafer asked Josh McDaniels, was that a big deal? And Josh McDaniels is going to give the sanitized, politically correct answer. Those players took note of that. Josh McDaniels is not gonna. They're not. Josh McDaniels is not gonna say that at the microphone. But those players obviously didn't appreciate that. That you're mocking them as you're whipping them out on their field. By the way, which brings me to a third thing. There was a report that surfaced that Mark Davis is upset about opposing fans taking over Allegiant Stadium, and to that I say, put a product on the field, and maybe that won't happen so much.
Oh, I agree with that. And there was a lot of uproar from fans over a fan getting kicked out for a sign. And while I disagree with that 100%, the rules of your ticket say they can do that to you, believe it or not. I know it does. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's the way it is. And you're right, though, Mo. That's the thing, too, is you look at the ring around the rosy play. That, and no matter what Josh McDaniels says, or as someone else called it, our good friend Fabian up in the Bay Area called it the Chief Circle Jerk. And so, okay, whatever you want to call it, guess what? They do it because they can, and you can't do anything about it. I equated it to the high school, or excuse me, the playground bully. Playground bully is going to push you. And guess what? Unless you hit him in the mouth, he's going to keep pushing you. And guess what? They keep pushing the Raiders, and the Raiders don't hit anybody in the mouth. And so you're right. Mark Davis ultimately owns that. You don't want opposing fans in your stadium. Guess what? Win ball games. Build a better product. Build a better team. Reward the loyalty of Raider Nation and get it out there. So, yeah, I agree with that. But, Mo, when we look at 2022 overall, there was some good things, and we'll get to those in a second. But when you look at the season overall, of course, the word is disappointing. But is that a big enough word to describe what the versus expectations? We had them inaccurately. Fans had them way inaccurate. A lot of people thought this team was going to go deep in the playoffs. We thought maybe, hey, at least they should make the playoffs, even if they inch in. All of us were completely wrong. When you look at 2022 in the course of all things that is Raider Nation, how disappointing is it? What is the right word to describe how this season ended up versus what the expectations were?
Disastrous. Because I say that because, first of all,
don't be so gentle.
Josh McDaniels comes in and he's very adamant that Carr is a starter. And we talked about how he wanted Carr before he got to Las Vegas. And then we read a report saying that he was out on Carr within weeks. Yeah. And then the Raiders go 2-7. Who expected that? Then Carr fizzles out. He doesn't get better as the season goes on. He gets worse. And then five blown leads, five double digit second half blown leads. Five. Not just blowing a lead into a better team. The Chiefs come back and beat you. It happens to other squads. The 49ers, it happens to other squads because those are elite football teams right now. But you're up on the Jaguars by three possessions. You lose. I know the Jaguars in the playoffs, but let's be honest. They're an upstart team. They're not a juggernaut yet. The Cardinals game, you have the biggest blown lead in your franchise history, losing a 20-point lead to a bad Cardinals team, who, by the way, fired their head coach and GM on Monday.
Yep.
You don't cross the 50-yard line against the Saints. I know the Saints have a top 10 defense statistically right now, but at the time they played the Raiders, they weren't playing that well, and there was no Marshawn Lattimore. What? How else could you describe a season like that, where you are the now NFL leader in blown leads in the second half, double-digit blown leads in the second half? You have a head coach who's way under 500 now in his overall record. You don't know who your quarterback is going into 2023. You need a whole defensive overhaul. Like, there's no other way to describe this season than disastrous compared to what the expectations were coming into it.
Right, and not only that, you add in that the biggest hole you had on the offense last year, outside of addressing it with Devontae Adams, a wide receiver, was your offensive line, and you did absolutely nothing other than draft one rookie who played okay and is going to end up being the center next year. You didn't address the offensive line issue, and then you look at the free agent signings. I mean, Mo, let's be real here. You look at the free agent signings that they made. You could argue some were good or adequate, but overall, all of them pretty much disappointed. Chandler Jones came along, yes, towards the second half before getting hurt. But overall, Bilal Nichols, okay player, but not for what they're paying him. Daron Harmon did well in spots, but again, he was a stopgap at some of those places. So I agree with your disastrous point of view as well. Not only that, but the, yeah, go.
And to add on to the disastrous point of view, there's more, by the way. You lose to Baker Mayfield, who didn't know all his teammates.
Oh, and then the Jeff Saturday.
On a Thursday night, and then you give Jeff Saturday his only win as the interim head coach.
Correct.
He lost every game after the Raiders. The Raiders gave him his only W. This is a guy who came from the ESPN booth, commentator, analyst, beats the Raiders, 25-20, and goes on to lose every following game, including the last game to the Houston Texans, who were in line to get the number overall pick. They gave Jeff Saturday his only head coaching win. That was probably going to be his first and his last, because they're not hiring him for that full-time gig.
No, they're not. And that's what's incredible about this, too, was all the excitement coming into the year around that you, like you said, that was created. And you look back now, I watched some of those preseason. There was an interview with the Raiders and Dave Ziegler, and he talked about this. And they asked him, well, is the goal the playoffs? He said, well, yeah, the goal is always the playoffs. And the way he sounded, I didn't listen to it closely enough at the time, but he was kind of hedging. So I think Dave Ziegler had an idea. When Josh McDaniels, though, really was selling this team as a team he believed was going to go back to the playoffs. Dave Ziegler, not so much. But that, I think, set people off a little bit, and people were very excited about where this team was going because of the offense. You and I expected Derek Carr, the former quarterback, to have a big year. But even if they did have a bigger year on offense, I'm not sure, maybe, just maybe, they sneak into the playoffs with some of the teams we saw make it into the playoffs. But again, overall, the state of this franchise, while financially it's good, it's now in a position, Mo, where Dave Ziegler not only has to go out and get better talent, he's got to get a lot of it.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car-selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Yes, and I was on a Bleacher Report live show, and a lot of people were suggesting the Raiders need to trade for Lamar Jackson, trade for Aaron Rodgers, trade for Kyler Murray now that he doesn't have a head coach GM. The only reason I push back on that is because of what you just said, right? Mm-hmm. The Raiders have so many holes to fill. If you trade for a quarterback, guess what? Not only are you going to have to pay that quarterback salary, but you're going to have to give up draft capital to get him. So that restricts the amount of capital that you have to fill the holes on every level of your defense and fix your offensive line, which is why I suggest signing Tom Brady, because at least with Tom Brady, you don't have to give up draft capital to get him. You know, so the good part about hopefully Derek Carr waives no trade clause and gets moved is that you can recoup more draft capital so that you can fill more holes. And you do that with cheap guys on rookie or cheap deals. With big bloated salaries, including for a quarterback.
Yes, and I know when we talk about that, a lot of people say, well, you're saying bring in Tom Brady. That's not a cheap rookie contract. It's like, yes, but Tom Brady's in a different situation. Tom Brady will take money or less money or deferred money, okay, to play with the right team that he wants to play with. So you're not going to spend $39 million like you were going to do with Derek Carr.
Really
you
quick,
might
Scott.
You might spend 15 or 16.
Right. Really quick, Scott, Tom Brady's cap hit this year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was $11.8
million. Exactly.
That's how much he cost against the cap.
And Josh Allen's in Buffalo is 14. Now it goes up to 27 next year and 29 the following year before going back down to 12. So the next 2 years. So the Bills, and again, this is where they structure the contract. And we'll do a whole show about this, by the way, as we look at the Raiders, as we know what the salary cap goes up to, then we can have that conversation. But what people don't understand is these teams build the contracts with quarterbacks around, okay, we're going to build you up for 3 or 4 years. We're going to keep your contract low, your cap hit low, so that we can make our run. And then we're going to take 2 years where you're going to be a larger percentage of the cap hit, and then we're going to take it back down so that we can do another run. It's all structured that way, Mo, so they can work around the cycles of building a team to try to go win a championship.
Yeah, a lot of teams, what they do is just kick the can down the road, so to speak, restructure, right. move some right. money down the road so that you have more space to work in that current year. And you just keep kicking the can down the road because as far as we know, the salary cap is going to keep going up. I know the pandemic happened. It was a different situation there. But as far as we know, unless there's another pandemic wave, salary cap's going to keep going up. So that's why teams are willing to, again, kick the can down the road and restructure contracts.
Yeah. Before we go to the break, one more thing I want to touch on, too, because we're talking about the disastrous year that was for the Raiders, but there was some bright spots. And I think the biggest success of the season, yes, Davante Adams had another 1,500-yard season. Great season. You expected it out of one of the game's best receivers. But you got to talk about Josh Jacobs as the greatest success, right? He wins the rushing title in his non-option year, his option year. The Raiders refuse his option, which I still think was the right thing to do at the time. And now he's in a position where he can be a free agent or the Raiders try to sign him. I think they do try to sign him. But talk about the success of Josh Jacobs and what we saw, because not only did he perform really well, Mo, and I know this last two games of the season, he got a little banged up, but this was his most complete season, obviously, from a health perspective, too. He got stronger and he was more durable.
Right. He didn't miss a few games here and there like he has in the previous years. So with that, he handled a monster workload. I believe he had over 300 carries. So that goes along with why he's the rushing title champion, is because he was able to take on that huge workload and, of course, produce as he's always been. So what I will say about Josh Jacobs, I wanted to clear something up actually about the franchise tag. It was out that the franchise tag would cost $12 million. I believe that was the figure out there. Mm-hmm. Looking over at a lot of reputable cap people like Joel Corey, who we've had on the show recently, I believe last year, the franchise tag is only going to be $10 million. So the Raiders, had they exercised the 5-year option on Josh Jacobs' contract, would have been $8 million. So really, they're paying $2 million more if they keep him on a franchise tag. Now, I hope that he gets a long-term deal because the running back shelf life is very short. Yeah. So I hope he gets a multi-year deal. But if you're talking about franchise tag versus fifth-year option, it's only a difference of $2 million. So I don't think the financial gap is as big as people think it is.
No, and with the uncertainty, and I say uncertainty at quarterback because I truly believe the Raiders, whether it's in the first round or not, are going to draft a quarterback or look for a young quarterback to develop. And get a veteran bridge guy. If that's the case, you need the weapons you already have on offense to produce like they produced. So to me, that means you give Josh Jacobs his 5-year deal, okay? And I think by everything he said, and I could be reading this completely wrong, Mo, and you could tell me what you think, but by everything he said the last few weeks, including on Monday, on Saturday after the game, is it sounds like he really wants to be a Raider. Okay, now that doesn't mean he's going to take a lot less money, but if they give him a fair deal, I can see him wanting to stay there, especially if they bring in a really sharp young quarterback. If they were able to draft one of these young kids, that's really exciting, plus bring in a Tom Brady or somebody like that, I think that'll help convince him to maybe take a deal where, he might get a few million dollars more somewhere else, but this is going to be his big contract, his final contract, and it certainly sounds like he wants to be there.
I think it depends on the makeup of the team, too. So let's say they go all in and it looks like they constructed a roster that is ready to compete right now. I think he'd be more willing to take less because he says, okay, I'll take less if it means more winning. Mm-hmm. But let's say the Raiders draft a rookie quarterback and they pretty much are willing to go with a rookie quarterback or Stidham going into the following year. Jacob saying, you're going to have to pay me more money to stick with that. It looks like you guys are only going to win 5-6 games. You're going to have to pay up on that. So I want to see what the reaction is going to be on that because, interestingly, the franchise tag window, the window to tag your player with a franchise tag, kind of coincides with the decision the Raiders have to make on Derek Carr. So it's like we're going to find out a lot about what the Raiders' plan is within the next month because – that quarterback move has to come. They have to make a decision on the franchise tag. And then you're going to start to hear about possible free agents they're looking at. So as far as Jacobs is concerned, he should be a building block. And I think I brought this up the last show, him being nominated captain by guys in the locker room
says a lot.
was a big deal.
Right. And if you don't have somebody like a Tom Brady, who clearly comes in as the leader of the locker room, then you need that. And you have Davante Adams to a certain degree as one of those guys, but you also need another guy to me. And that's why I think he's so important to the team. Whereas if the quarterback had balled out and they weren't in this position on quarterback, and had a better year in that situation and the offense and the passing game and all that, then maybe he's not as critical. Now, again, you rush for 1,500 yards and win the rushing title, it's going to put you always in the conversation, right? But it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. All right, we're going to step aside for a quick break. When we come back, Mo and I are going to get into some more here around the 2022 season, including Dave Ziegler. That's who we're going to talk about next. How did he do? A lot of you want to fire him too after not having a first or second round pick last year because of the Devontae Adams deal. You want him gone too. Is that the right thing? Did he do things well? Or did he just completely flunk the test? We'll talk about that next here on Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey Original Podcast. We'll be right back.